Dissonance Media and the Other Stories presents. Step into the abyss of After the Gloaming, a gothic fiction podcast that delves into the depths of human emotion. Unyielding love, revenge, internal struggles, and restless souls await you in 9 haunting episodes, where dread, fear, and rare glimpses of eerie happiness linger. Dare to listen on your favorite podcatcher? After the Gloaming beckons. Search now, but beware. Innocence will be left behind.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
These aren't the stories your mother told you. No, these are the other stories.
We've got a couple of opportunities available to writers right now. On our Facebook group, we are running a flash fiction competition based around the theme of St. Paddy's Day. So looking for 500-word stories, must have something to do with the Irish or St. Patrick's Day. And the deadline is March the 13th, and that will be on our Facebook group. So go to facebook.com/groups/HawkandCleaver. We're also looking for full stories for the Other Stories podcast. The next 6 themes to submit to are time travel, alternative realities, space, post-apocalypse, mythology, and doppelgangers. The submission details for those are over at theotherstories.net/submissions. Once again, that's theotherstories.net/submissions. Today's episode is The Folly of Men, written by Andy Conduit Turner and narrated by Josh Curran.
London hadn't seen this kind of destruction since the Great Awakening, when Cephalocalypse had chosen the Thames estuary as a spawning pool and subsequently clashed over the territory with the Vespress. The new London that emerged from the rubble, like most other restored cities around the world, grew up in an entirely new world. Mike had been just 8 when the world changed in ways no one, save for the ancient Mayans it turned out, had predicted. In a flash, his parents and adults worldwide had stopped being afraid of whatever it was that adults were afraid of and joined their children in their fear of monsters. One good thing about these evacuations was that people didn't really bother locking up before bolting underground. Mike passed upward through the office block unchallenged. Still, he kept his press credentials visible on a lanyard around his neck, just in case. Pausing at the uppermost step, he opened the roof access door tentatively. Once satisfied things were at least relatively safe, he took a deep breath and moved outside.
"This roof's taken, find your own."
Finn MacCready didn't even turn around to growl his dismissal of Mike to his face. There was a time that no fellow journalist would have argued with any of MacCready's demands, but they were long gone. His formerly legendary reputation eroded with each subsequent conspiracy theory and ranting article. BBC staff need to take your orders as much as the newsroom take your calls these days, MacReady, Mike replied dismissively. He took a spot next to the grizzled veteran, raised his camera, and began taking shots of the South Bank, the familiar skyline largely demolished beyond recognition. The hulking figures that were flattening the city, patrolling unopposed in the distance. It was a humbling display of might. As though on cue, one of the metal titans that had descended upon New London just a few hours prior stepped out from behind what was remaining of the Shard. Coldly and efficiently, the gigantic automaton gripped the side of the landmark and ripped an entire section loose. With a scream of supporting metalwork, the top section of the building toppled over, splintering like a sapling in high winds, shattering glass falling like razor-sharp confetti to the streets below.
"Surrender peacefully, humans,"
an emotionless voice boomed, not only from the weapon itself, but from both men's mobile phones and what sounded like several other out-of-sight speakers.
"This island has been claimed on behalf of the Empire of Nibiru and will serve as our embassy on your planet. Submit to relocation and no harm will come to you. This we pledge."
Upon completing the proclamation, the invader administered an almighty kick to the remnants of the monument, sending the whole structure collapsing downwards and unleashing a fresh plume of dust into the already thick air.
"Nibiru, give me a break," MacReady grumbled, without lowering his camera.
"I know," Mike replied almost reflexively. "Reuters are going to have a fit. They've been reporting this as a resurgence of Deeptopia's forces."
"Are you just naive or actually stupid, kid?"
This time, MacReady took a break from photographing the scene. He shoved Mike's shoulder, blurring his last shot and grabbing his attention. The legend, turned crackpot, looked Mike right in the eye. Just a couple of years ago, this would have made Mike or any other young reporter weak at the knees, face to face with the best of the best.
"Look, I know what people think of me these days, and kids like you don't got any real memories of how it was before to fall back on, but does nothing about this feel off?"
"What feels off is that someone who made a career taking photos of kaiju clashes actually not only took photos, but was literally standing at ground zero while AKs saved human civilization countless times, suddenly going off the deep end and becoming a full-blown conspiracy theorist. How can you call anything you must have seen over the years nothing more than a hoax?"
Surprisingly, MacReady didn't respond with the aggression Mike had expected. His glare softened. He looked almost wounded. He turned his back on the ongoing destruction across the river and sat down.
"Nothing hoaxed about the death and the destruction, kid. That's all too real. Pictures I took of Arachnix versus Gore-Illa or Armor Drillo wiping out the Machine Head Syndicate got plastered everywhere, but nobody wanted to run the pictures of the aftermath, the displaced families, or the records of the shady land grabs for redevelopment. The public? I get it. But people like you? That really gets to me. We live in a world where creatures the size of buildings regularly demolish entire cities, always for a reason, of course, either battling over territory or saving us all from invasions from hitherto unheard of undersea civilizations and dangers from mystery planets. All of that we accept at face value these days, but who thinks these setups are, well, just that, must have lost it."
Their impromptu heart-to-heart was interrupted as both reporters' phones sprang to life. Mike plunged his hand into his pocket to check the message, while MacReady simply grunted and primed his camera.
"Let me guess, Lord Giller," MacReady said as Mike retook a spot next to him.
"Knife are tracking imminent arrival."
Mike tried in vain to hide the excitement in his voice.
Lord Gilla had always been his favourite. Ah, yes, the Kaiju Neutralization and Integration Federation of Experts, MacReady scoffed. Now there's a backronym you can set your watch by. Should have called themselves the Department for Imaginative Lies and Decoy Organization, because they sure are mostly used to The distinct cry was one of the most familiar sounds on the planet. The shrill initial shriek giving way to a low, rumbling snarl, which sent every unbroken pane of glass left in all of New London reverberating to breaking point. Mike adjusted his lens, scanning the water of the Thames below for the telltale silhouette. Before he could focus, the whole river practically emptied as Lord Gilla erupted from the depths, the whole city trembling as he landed on his hind legs on the south bank. While underwater, the cry of the world's most beloved allied kaiju had been intimidating. Now, in the open air, it was near deafening. The response from the fighting machines was immediate. Distant figures all across the horizon all turned towards the first thing they likely perceived as a threat, since they effortlessly cast aside the initial military response. And all began charging in unison. The closest machine, the one who had finished off the shard, raised an arm towards the Earth's savior, chrome-plated, palm-facing outwards. There was a momentary hum, followed by a sharp crack as purple energy arced across decimated city streets before entangling Lord Gilla. Mike's heart leapt to his throat as the second childhood hero he'd met today staggered backwards, energy crackling across his scales. Surely he wouldn't go down like this! The creature's knees seemed to shake, almost buckling, and its eyes closed as a second invader arrived in range, adding another energy stream to the assault. Mike kept clicking his camera shutter on autopilot, biting his lip as he hoped for a miracle. Then it happened. Lord Gilla's eyes snapped open, now glowing the same iridescent purple as the Niberian weapons. Forgetting himself, Mike grabbed MacReady's shoulder as he laughed and cheered like a fan at a stadium watching his team stage a comeback. "Those idiots," he practically sang. "Their weapons probably use null energy. Lord Gilla is practically made of the stuff. Their attacks are going to supercharge him." "Yeah, idiots." MacReady rolled his eyes before glaring back at Mike. With a cry somehow louder and more fearsome than the last, now accompanied by an electrical buzzing, Gilla unleashed a blast of white-hot energy from his mouth, which struck the original attacker directly in the chest. The blast tore clean through the machine's mechanical body, a sparking hole remaining in its wake as the robot fell to its knees. Lord Gilla didn't miss a beat. Dropping to all fours, he charged at an alarming speed for a creature his size, of the second mech. Null energy cascading across his scales, the lighter sections of his markings pulsating with the swells of the power he'd absorbed. Just as he leapt onto the new, now comparatively fragile-looking alien machine, clamping, crushing jaws around a helplessly outstretched arm, the head section of the first machine made a bid to escape. Launching into the air as its crippled hull shook itself apart in a series of explosions, the escape craft looked to be trying to get clear of the scuffle. Despite some frantic maneuvers, it failed to avoid Gilla's tail as it thrashed wildly. With an almighty impact, the vehicle lost all illusion of controlled flight and was sent spinning helplessly through the air, clean across the river. Both photographers ducked for cover as the damaged pod sailed harmlessly over their vantage point, landing with a crash what must have been just 100 meters or so north. Mike looked at his former idol expectantly. He didn't need MacReady to speak to know what he was thinking, and he knew he'd be right behind him. Despite being at least 15 years his junior,
Mike struggled to keep pace with the old news hound as they rushed down the stairwell. MacReady was practically vaulting the last half of each flight in a race to get this evidence he so desperately sought. As he ran, he rambled, possibly for Mike's benefit, possibly to himself in his nervous fervour. Awakening didn't end the Cold War and unite shit. Nukes just aren't as scary once there's a 400-foot lizard that eats them in the mix. Always see more attacks in an election year. Military funding isn't arms proliferation if it's to defend against kaiju. All a big show. Trigon the Terrible grows wings and saves Neo-Leningrad in September, and then Gigantomantis appears with a new mutation before the end of the year. They keep getting bigger, louder, more teeth, more powers, until they unleash one they can't recall and it wipes us all out. The pair burst out of the fire exit and sprinted along the streets towards where it seemed likely the head would have landed. Thick clouds of dust hung like a fog at street level. While he couldn't see the battle down here, the sounds of roars, rending metal, and the crashes of unseen destruction assaulted them at all sides. Mike's lungs burned and his knees cried for him to stop, but adrenaline and the fact MacReady showed no sign of slowing kept him moving. Rounding a final corner, they finally saw it. Wedged into the building, about 10 meters from the ground, the smoking wreck of the war machine's head, or perhaps cockpit was a better description, still glowed with residual, null energy. MacReady already had his camera raised, taking shot after shot of the scene. Mike was the first to see what must have been one of the pilots stumble out of the building. He was wounded, a jagged metal bar protruding from his lower torso, blood seeping through his flight suit. His flight suit, emblazoned with the knife insignia. Mike's head swam with a tidal wave of realizations that he had no chance to voice before MacReady sprang to action, photographing the very human pilot while spewing accusations, even audible over the sounds of the raging battle.
Shit, I'm compromised!
The pilot wheezed into a radio at his shoulder as he raised his sidearm and began firing in their direction. Injured as he was, his aim was clearly lacking. The reporters weaved as they fled, hoping to make harder targets. MacReady went down. The world slowed to a crawl as Mike turned to see the man that had inspired him to become a photojournalist sprawled on the floor, his flailing arms holding out his camera, brimming with the world-changing proof that threatened to undermine a generation of history. All this continued to unfold in slow motion as the hobbling pilot desperately tried to close the gap between them, taking careful aim to tie off the final loose end. Mike lunged backward for the camera. Lord Giller's clawed foot slammed down with so much force that Mike was thrown backwards, landing dazed in a pile of debris clear across the road. He looked up in awe as the monster, now glowing near white with even more energy, slurped the residual charge from the wreckage of the escape pod. Mike raised MacReady's camera and took the shot of his career at the beast towering over him before it leapt back into battle with another screech. Mike was far below the creature's notice. It could have looked right at him and still not register him. Sitting up and attempting to catch his breath, he saw that the area that the events between him, MacReady, and the pilot had unfolded in was now nothing more than a crater. Any bodies lost beneath the rubble. He turned away. Monument Underground Station, quarter mile. The dust-caked sign at the street corner was barely readable. With a fresh fear of something far worse than monsters, Mike cradled the precious camera and ran.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Other Stories. The Folly of Men was written by Andy Conduit-Turner, narrated by Josh Curran, edited by Duncan Muggleton, with music by Dark Fantasy Studio and Tom Robson, and sound effects provided by freesound.org. The episode illustration provided by Luke Spooner of Carry On House. Andy Conduit-Turner is a UK-based writer, editor, comic creator and podcast crasher with a song in his heart and a spreadsheet for everything. Follow more of his work, seasoned with frequent dog pictures via AndyCTWrites on Twitter. Josh Curran is a narrator and writer. He has narrated many episodes of The Other Stories over the show's lifetime. He is also the creator of the horror audio drama podcast Miscreation. You can follow him on Twitter at @jcurranwriter. If you enjoyed today's episode, you can help support the show over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. You can join our book club and movie club and get involved in the flash fiction competition at facebook.com/groups/hawkandcleaver. T-shirts and mugs and posters and comic books are available at gumroad.com/hawkandcleaver. The Other Stories is a production of the story studio Hawk and Cleaver and is brought to you with Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. That means don't change it, don't sell it, but by all means share the hell out of it. So, until next time.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.